So Boudreaux one day was feeling rather guilty, so he wanted to go to confession. So he did so, and he said, "Father, I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling guilty because, you know that new construction site they got in town? I stole a little bit of lumber from there." And the priest said, "Well, that's not good, Boudreaux. What did you do with that lumber?" He said, "Well, my porch on my house, there's a hole in there and I'm afraid somebody's going to break their leg, so I fixed my porch." And he said, "Okay. Anything else?" He said, "Well, I had a little bit of lumber left over, and my poor dog Fido, he never had a house to get out of the weather, so I built him a dog house." And the father said, "Well, it's getting a little more serious here." And he said, "Well, Father, I had a little bit of lumber left over, and my car, it's always been out in the weather too, so I built a two-car garage." And Father said, "This is really getting out of hand now." He said, "Well, I still had a little bit of lumber left over, Father. And my wife, she always wanted a big house, so I added two more rooms and a new bathroom." And Father said, "This is unacceptable. This is very bad. Now you're going to have to make a novena for your penance. Do you know how to make a novena?" And Boudreaux said, "Man, no, Father, but if you got the plans, I got the lumber." So going to confession, putting the old behind us and living the new life. That is what Jesus is calling us to do today. So we heard in our Bible readings how they spoke about the old and the new, right? You heard Isaiah say, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I'm doing something new." So that's like our sins are in the past, and God is giving us a new life for the future. St. Paul said the same thing, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit for the goal, which is life on high in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in the gospel today, Jesus gives this woman a new life. And there seems to be something wrong with this accusation, the scribes and Pharisees, if they said she was caught in the very act of adultery. It takes two to tango, right? What do they do with the man? But they're only accusing the woman, right? So it's already something very unjust. And this is the only time that we have ever heard in the scriptures of Jesus actually writing. Only time that we hear about it in the scriptures. And it was a common thing among the peasants of that day that when they were distraught, in order to blow off steam, they would just draw in the sand in the ground. So apparently that's what Jesus was doing. He was very distraught at this situation that they were using this woman and abusing her, and he turns the tables on them and actually accuses them, right? When he says, "Let he who is without sin be the first to cast a stone." And the word he uses for sin here is even of the heart. So he's basically saying, even you who did not even desire to do the same with this woman, then you be the first to cast the stone. And none of them could do it, right? And when it said that he was writing in the ground, it didn't use the normal word for writing. The normal Greek word for writing is graphein. You can hear the word graffiti out of there, or a graph, right? But here the word was kata graphein, which means to write against. And so St. Jerome says that Jesus was writing the very sins of these men in the ground. Because he's God and he knew what their sins were. And as they saw their sins written on the ground, they each walked away one by one. Because they knew that they too had sinned and they were not able to cast a stone at her. And this might be a very good interpretation because in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 13, it says, "Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." And the scribes and the Pharisees certainly had forsaken the Lord because they were trying to trap him in order to kill him. Because if he said, "Yes, kill her," then he would be in trouble with the Roman government. If he said no, then they could say, "Well, then you're against the law of Moses. It was a trap." But Jesus is so much smarter than us, all of us, right? And he always turns the tables right against people who try to unjustly attack him. But that's interesting, the fountain of living water. Because Jesus, in this very John chapter 8, it was in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles, when they brought lots of water to the temple of Jerusalem, and because it was during the dry summer months there, the summer months are very dry, in the fall they pray for rain. And so part of their ritual was to pour lots of water on the altar, which is outside of the temple of Jerusalem, and the water would be flowing down almost like a river out of the temple, and they would pray for rain. And so Jesus would say at that very moment, he would say, "Come to me, and those who believe in me, rivers of living water shall flow from within him." And John says, in an interpretation, he says, the rivers of living water are the Holy Spirit that he promises to those who believe in him. And we are preparing for baptism, especially for Mose and for Shelton, as they are going to be baptized in water and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And just think of all those around the world who are going to be baptized at this coming Easter season. And so we are accompanying them, and we are renewing our baptismal commitment to the Lord. And on Easter Sunday, we will do that, and I'll sprinkle you with the holy water as a reminder of our baptism and how we are committed and recommitting ourselves to follow the Lord faithfully in every possible way. So Jesus does not condemn the woman. He says, "Go, but sin no more." So it's not like he's saying it's okay to keep on sinning. No, he says, "Go, I forgive you, but sin no more." So we have a responsibility on our part to change our lives, right? And not to sin anymore. We have to work with the grace of the Lord. It's not magic. He'll give us the power, but we have to say yes. We have to do the things that are necessary to transform ourselves by the grace of the Lord. So what a great example of confession for this week and for last week's gospel as well, the story of the prodigal son, right? That's a great one for confession because he realizes he's in sin. He confesses or he rehearses his confession. And he repents in his heart. He goes to his father, makes his confession, and he is reconciled with the father. So that's a great example of the sacrament of reconciliation, which you had here last week, right? But if any of you missed it last week, I want you to make sure that you do make your confession before the Easter season. And I'm always here before Mass. You can catch me after Mass. You can catch me on the street, in the grocery store, wherever. Confession can take place anywhere. Right? And we will have a communal penance service at Sacred Heart Church. We'll have four priests available. Invite anybody who has not made your confession or if you need to go again. We'll have a number of priests available on not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. But we do try to make confession very much available to each and every one of you. So you know that I have an older brother in the priesthood, and he usually likes to introduce me as my younger brother, the prodigal son. And that's pretty correct. He was more of the straight-laced one compared to me. But I always come back and I say, "Be careful, older brother, who you identify with. We know how the younger brother in the story turned out. We're not too sure about the older brother by the end of the story, right? He hadn't yet come back to the party." So I said, "Be careful who you identify with." But I remember my brother later told me that he and another seminarian, now Father Greg Cormier, threw holy water in my room when I wasn't looking, and because they were sure I was going to hell, and which might have been true. And so look what it did for me, right? Somebody praying for me, somebody hoping for me, and in my life was transformed by the grace and the power of God, and then I became a priest as well. So you never know who the Lord will call, but certainly we're all called to a transformation of life. St. Augustine said that the words of absolution that the priest says in the confessional are greater than the words that God himself said at the beginning of creation, when God said, "Let there be light," and "Let there be planets and stars and animals and human beings, all right? And, you know, God creates out of nothing. When we create something, we have to start with something. You want to make a table, you got to take some wood and put it together. But when God said, let it be, there was nothing in the beginning except God existing himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he didn't take up space. He wasn't made up of matter, and he's still not made up of matter. Except in his now, he does have a human body. Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, has a resurrected body. But God creates out of nothing. So that's his power. But even the words of confession, of the absolution, your sins are forgiven, are more powerful. Because even God forgets your sins. And God has a good memory. Right? God has a good memory. But even he obliterates the memory of our sins in his own mind through our repentance, through sacramental confession. What an incredible and powerful gift the Lord has given to us. Somebody said that God does not make junk, but he does collect it. So no human being on this planet Earth is a piece of junk. Every person is created in the image and likeness of God, right? And so we're all beautiful in God's eyes. But sometimes, maybe other people throw junk on us, and sometimes we take junk on ourselves through our sins, right? And we wrap it around us, and so that good person is like bound up and has to be unbound through repentance and through this beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. So let's give our junk to the Lord and not let it bow us down anymore, but come to his mercy, his mercy, his mercy. Today is the third anniversary of the election of Pope Francis, and that has been the whole theme of his ministry, the mercy. And this year he has proclaimed a year of mercy as well, right? And what a great and incredible example of that mercy that he is. And he says, God does not tire of forgiving us. We tire of asking for his forgiveness because we give up, and we should never. We have to persevere to the end, fighting, fighting, fighting with the grace of the Lord against sin, against the temptations of the world, busying ourselves with the good things that there are out there to do in works of charity and reading our scriptures and studying the word, come Lord Jesus, and all of these different opportunities that we have to live a life of union with God and a reconciliation with the Father. So let us be about that for the rest of this Lenten season and indeed into the Easter season and experience the joy, the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives because he is intimately involved with us. So let us open our hearts, let that mercy seep in, and let us rejoice in this upcoming Easter season. Amen.